20th chapter, Acts chapter 20. We find in the first verses of this chapter that Paul is speaking to a group he's very greatly endeared to. They are Christians at a church he started. And we pick it up in Acts 20 and verse 18 as Paul speaks to the believers at Ephesus Baptist Church, verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." He said, from the first day, at all seasons, verse 19, "serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house," and it continues in that vein. How many of you have been to Yellowstone like we went early this summer? Beautiful, is it not? Old Faithful, definitely a highlight there. Are we showing that? I think that we are. Some pictures from there. It's faithful, all right. And the Apostle Paul is charging these that he's about to leave. And he's not just talking to that church. He's talking to Grace Baptist Church this morning. And he's saying, "Oh, come and be faithful." The Apostle Paul took three missionary journeys. And in chapter 20, he's about to begin the last lap, his third trip. In these verses, he's about to head out for Jerusalem. And he's got to say goodbye to these endeared saints of his at Ephesus. He spent so much time with them. It's a very tender and touching scene, one of the most moving and heartwarming farewell speeches that have ever been recorded in literature. And he opens up to them. He literally opens up his heart and lets us look inside. And when I look inside the heart of the Apostle Paul, when I peer inside, I can see something in there, and it's faithfulness. Faithfulness. In verse 18, he says, "From the first day, ye know how from the first day that I came to you, after what manner I have been with you," that's faithfulness, "at all seasons." Faithfulness we see there in verse number 18. From the first day he hit the ground running. Through many hardships in that difficult city, he was dependable. He never quit. And perhaps the best ability is dependability, that people can depend on you. He never quit. He never slacked off in his years there with that church. Well, faithfulness is important. Faithfulness is perhaps the most important quality that you and I can cultivate in our hearts as well. For one of the things that we want to hear from God someday is, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant." Not, "Well done, you made a lot of money." Not, "Well done, you really did a lot of living." "Well done, you learned so many different hobbies and trades." No, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Faithfulness. I thank God we've got such faithful people here at Grace Baptist Church. And a great return crowd that we've been having in our night services. Faithfulness of God's people. That's great. Thank you. And God, give us more, because we could use more. Faithful, dependable people for the work here. Well, there may be some things that you just can't do. You may have some physical limitations. You may have some other kinds of limitations. You may not be able to get up here and sing or teach a Sunday school class like your teacher taught you, if you were faithful and were there, like your teacher taught you. You may not be able to do that. You may not be able to stand up and preach a sermon, but there's one thing that you can do. There's one thing that we can all do. We can all be faithful. And it means so much to our God. And write it down in your bulletin today. While faithfulness is a quality which I admire, it's a quality which God requires. God requires it. God requires faithfulness. Now, can I get a witness this morning? God requires faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Look at it on the screen. Moreover, it is, what's the next word? Required in stewards, that's us, servants of Christ, that a man be found faithful. It's required. We've done too much admiring of it as churches and just accepting less, when really as churches we're supposed to hold people accountable and remind them, here's what God says, He requires it. And He tells me, hold them accountable. To what? To His requirements. Oh, that's why you get that phone call. Because it's required. Here's some areas where we need to be faithful today. Some basic areas, but we really need reminding of these things. We need some faithfulness to our family, first of all. Faithfulness to the family. Faithfulness begins at home. Faithfulness begins at home. Faithfulness begins in a family. Faithfulness really begins in a couple. In a marriage is the picture. Everyone here remembers the presidential election 1996, right? It was Clinton versus Dole, and the cry of the day was that a candidate's private life was his own business and has nothing to do with how he runs the country, right? That's what everyone was saying. And of course, we know that that's nonsense, because faithfulness has everything to do with a person's character. Public office is a matter of public trust. And if you can't keep that huge vow that you made to your spouse, what are you going to do to those piddly little vows of public trust? Well, you just trample all over them, as they do. If a man's not faithful at home, he's not faithful anywhere. This is at the very core of our lives. That was 96. What's happened since? Politicians keep falling like flies. Preachers keep falling like flies. And many others who should know better. Should know better. Let me add that we don't have to be physically unfaithful to be unfaithful. Unfaithfulness can happen in the mind, and often does. And some are unfaithful in other ways. Some are married to their jobs. Some have a love affair with shopping or sports. Being faithful involves establishing and maintaining proper priorities. That's faithfulness. And it happens even outside the bedroom. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's supposed to be our priority right there. Let me illustrate this way. I like motorcycles. Matter of fact, I love them. I grew up on them like a second home. I was bounced from one foster cycle to another. And I'd like to have one now, but I haven't had one since 1992, when I sold my favorite one, my Honda Interceptor V4. You know why I sold it? When I asked Kimberly to marry me, she said, sell the motorcycle? Was that the first thing you said? Murder cycles, she likes to call them. She wants to raise our family before I have another bike. And if it makes her happy, I decided it makes me happy. You know, I deliberated a few days, as I remember. Motorcycle, Kimberly. Imagining, vroom, vroom. Well, I had a choice to make that day, and I made it. And if I said no, she still might have said yes to me. Might have, maybe not. But she might have said yes, but it wouldn't have been right, you know? Are you sure I can't have, no? Is it okay now? Wow. Well, This is an illustration, okay? Not just a story. There's nothing so precious that we should not be willing to give it up for our spouse. No bass boat, no job, no golf outing. And we know even Paul was a golfer, for he said, "I have finished my course." Right? This goes for the ladies too. Ladies, no friend should come before your spouse. No co-worker should know secrets that you won't tell your own spouse. Our children should not come before our spouse. Can I say that again? Our children should not come before our spouse. God made you and your spouse one. Amen. Cut the cord. Well, what else is on my forbidden list? Guns have been, and she's starting to change her mind about that in the times in which we live. Guns have been on my forbidden list. Don't you feel sorry for me today? Boy. Nobody knows what it's like for me, a guy like me. Well, no, I've got some now. The fun ones are forbidden still. I mean, you know, I've got one for protection that's very wimpy. It's locked away in a case so tight that it would be so hard to get at. I'd have to appeal to the burglar, you know, give me a minute here, hang on. We don't want the kids to get into this. That would be dangerous. If you could just hold off. But she'd prefer I not have certain ones that I'd like to have right now, though she may be changing her mind. Actually, isn't that her putting the kids before her spouse? I don't know. Anyway. But, I mean, if we're all dead, what does it matter? Anyway. I have to get some of these things out in public, you know, because I'm too scared in private to have some of these conversations, you know. She's actually a good submissive woman. The other day I had her on her hands and knees. She was saying, "Come out from under that bed and fight like a man." So, anyway, we need to keep moving here. Move along, please. Faithfulness is a great quality, and we need to choose very carefully whom we're going to be faithful to, whom is really worthy of my faithfulness. Well, God is worthy of my faithfulness, and I am His. I am part of the bride of Christ, and I need to be faithful to Him. She is the one that I chose, and I'm so lucky that she chose me. And so I choose to be faithful to her. Now and forever. But it's got to be someone who's worthy of that faithfulness, you know? And once you decide to say I do to someone, guess what? They are worthy now. They are worthy of that. Faithfulness is a great quality, and it begins at home, or it doesn't begin at all. I wish all our politicians could get that through their heads. Pray for me, and that all preachers would learn this lesson, that the devil is winning a huge, huge victory when he takes us out and picks us off like ducks at the carnival. It seems like it's that easy for him now, and I see him still trying with me. Faithfulness to our family. Number two, faithfulness shows up, the Bible says, Jesus says, it really shows up in our finances. Faithfulness, and whether we're a faithful person, shows up in our finances. Bill was talking to us on the screen a little bit ago, right? Saying, "You're holding on to me a little too tight. You trust so much in me." Folks, there's coming a day in America where the dollar may not be worth anything anymore. You know? There's some scary things going on. We'll talk more about that as we continue our Judges series tonight. Tonight we'll continue on that subject. Faithfulness in our finances. Question, what would you do with $1 million? One guy said, "Well, I'd put it toward my debts as far as it'd go." What would you do with $1 million? I know exactly what you'd do with it. You do exactly with it, exactly what you're doing with that $100 you have right now. In other words, if you don't put God first and tithe now, you wouldn't tithe if you had $1 million. If you're not generous now, you wouldn't be generous if you were rich. If you're not faithful in your finances, now than you wouldn't be then. If you don't believe that, look at Luke 16:10 on the screen. He that is faithful in that which is least, that's what we've got right now, is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. God says, what can I trust you with? I'd like to be able to trust you with more. Can I trust you with more? He wants to share with his children. It's not prosperity teaching. It's just the truth. God says, if I can't trust you with a little, then I sure can't trust you with a lot. Guy said to his wife, I think our kids got my brain. She said, I'm sure they did. It's the little things that count. And so it is in our stewardship. In our stewardship, it's the little things that count. He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Guess what? You don't have much, don't make much, you don't owe much. It's God's perfect plan. But some will never see the way that God works. How many of you know how God works in blessing? You can't outgive God. Can I see your hands all across the room? Especially when it's first. You know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me when I give it last, if it's left. It's not there. But it's amazing how He works. And gives us more. You can't outgive God. Or just makes things cost less, you know. Shoes last longer and the roof is stronger. I can't explain it. But it always works.
Always.
Amen. He says, put me to the test in Malachi 3. Prove me now herewith. He says, I dare you. I'll never fail on this test, but some won't have the faith and the faithfulness to do this, and then they'll never enjoy the rewards and the promised blessing. Well, that's that verse. The very next verse, verse 11, says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, is that Luke 16:11? That's the next verse. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? By the way, what are true riches? Not just more money. True riches are things like wisdom and power and understanding and knowing God's will and such things. God says the test of your faithfulness in the spiritual realm, here's the test, is what you do with your finances in the physical realm. That's the unrighteous mammon. If you do right in the physical realm with your finances, unrighteous mammon, then the true riches come. That's in the spiritual realm. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It truly is a heart problem. Now, many today are deprived of spiritual blessings. Frankly, because they're not faithful with money. It's Jesus talking here. Where your treasure is where your heart is. It's not just the tithe, by the way. Those that aren't faithful with money are usually unfaithful with the other 90% too. That's part of the problem also. Everybody lives up to here, it seems like, these days, right? You get that raise and woo! Here comes another raise. A raise in spending. Right? Nothing saved for what might go wrong. Our stewardship is on both ends of the stick. The 90% and the 10%. So it's not just the tithe that God requires. It's all His, right? 100% of it. And He entrusts it to us to keep and to use wisely. And here's the truth of this verse on the screen. Some don't get their prayers answered because they're not faithful with their finances. Some don't understand their Bible so well and lack wisdom because they're unfaithful financially. Some are powerless in their witness and never win a soul to Christ because they aren't faithful financially. They haven't passed a simple physical test. That's the unrighteous mammon there. And God says, you're going nowhere spiritually until you pass this simple test of ownership. No skipping steps with God. He makes it a first one when it comes to faithfulness. He makes it a major test. Where your treasure is where your heart's at. See, the money isn't the real issue. The money is only the test. The money isn't the real issue. The money is only the test. Make sure and pass that test. Like you did when you were a kid, you got to try to pass your tests in school. Make sure and pass this money test, And then you'll be amazed at the God who will start sticking gold stars and smiley faces all over your life. In many areas of your life. Not just financially. Although that's been my experience too. So we need to be faithful to our family. Faithfulness definitely needs to show up in our finances. Number three, faithfulness to the fellowship. Faithfulness to the fellowship. The Bible has so much to say about faithfulness to church. It's a blessing to see you here today. Will we be seeing you again soon? Faithfulness. The Bible makes it clear. Pick a place. Be faithful to that place. Be part of a local body of believers. Not a bunch of local bodies. Join yourself to a body. Be faithful to the fellowship. Make a commitment. We live in the generation of let's just live together. No commitment. You know? And that's the attitude of a person who just never will join a church or really commit themselves. We're just, you know, having a good time. So, it's good to see you. Will we be seeing you again? Soon? Tonight? Faithfully? Sunday school? How about it? Romans 12:5 says, we, being many, are one body in Christ. Every one members one of another. That means that you're as much a part of me as I am of you, and this arm is a part of my body. And when the body meets, when we meet together in our services, and you're not here, then part of the body is missing. And we cannot function fully. We need each other. That's what the Bible's saying here. We're one body in Christ. We need the whole body to show up. How many of you have woken up some days and not all your body showed up? You know? I need you. We need each other. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is and always will be, but exhorting one another. That's encouraging one another. That's something you can't do from home. You can't exhort and encourage one another from home. And then it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you see the day approaching? Amen. I see the day approaching. Never is faithfulness more important than today. Never are we busier. Never do we have more excuses to not come. Never have we been busier than we are today. But never is it more important than today as we see the day approaching. You ever heard someone say, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian? Well, technically that is true. But I must say that I doubt the sincerity of the salvation of anyone who knowingly and willingly forsakes the assembly habitually when it's in their power to be there. Some say, well, I get just as much out of nature. I get just as much on the lake. I get just as much by spending time with my family. I get just as much at the park. And as they say those words, they reveal the heart of their problem. I get just as much. You don't come to church just for what you can get. You come for what you can give. Can I have an amen this morning? Amen. People say, I'm a member of the invisible church. You know, the invisible church. And they give invisible offerings and minister at invisible nursing homes and give invisible encouragement to other believers. Come to church not for what you can get. That's the consumer mentality. Come to church for what you can give. The contributor mentality. I'm a part of the body and it's my time to show up. Show up for work. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, consumer mentality, but to minister, contributor mentality, and to give His life a ransom. Give His life. Oh, if He could die for me, I can live for Him. It's going to take some faithfulness, though. How many boys and girls can you teach about Jesus at the lake anyway? What missionaries can you support and write to when you're in the deer woods? Whose babies can you watch at the bowling alley so others can hear the preaching? How much will your marriage be helped and your family enhanced while you're out with friends at a ball game? So really, you will get more here too. Now back to Hebrews 10:25. that we spoke of a moment ago. It said exhorting. Let's go back to that slide real quick. See that word exhorting. Hebrews 10:25. Exhorting. That word means encouraging. Let's do a little poll here this morning. Okay? Let's take a poll. How many of you enjoy church more when there's a good crowd like this today than when the place is half empty and you're wondering where the rest of your body is? Can I see your hands? Isn't it all the better? I sense that we've had more fun today than we had last week. You know? Now, I know what a struggle it is for me personally. You know, the struggle to try to fight against the world and my own flesh and the devil. I know what a struggle it is for me personally to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I'm in church all the time. I'm in the Word all the time, and it's still such a struggle for me. I don't know how some can claim to truly fight the fight without the support of the local church the way God intended for us to do it. I say some who brag about, you know, I'm fighting the fight. There's not much of a fight because they don't give the devil much of a time. The devil doesn't fight too hard against them. He's got them right where he wants them. Why fight against them? He's fighting against people like you. Fighting against your faithfulness. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid to miss church. I'm afraid, not that somebody's going to call me, not that I'm going to lose a Sunday school pin. I'm afraid that I'll miss a blessing. I hate it when we're away, especially if we don't get a blessing where we're at, because I wonder about the blessing that I might have missed here. And I listen online and I can pick up on the blessing, but I say, I'd have been a lot more blessed if I was there present. You know? I would have seen everyone and shook their hands and been encouraged. And maybe I could have given something to someone too, but I couldn't because I wasn't there. Frustrating. Are you afraid to miss church? Afraid that you'll miss a blessing? I hope you have that fear. Be not afraid. We will be here at 6 o'clock tonight. And you can come. There's nothing to be afraid of this Halloween season. Often I'm told by people that they heard that they missed a good service and they wished that they could have been there. And thank God I'm also often told or see on our web stats that some, though they had to work or were out of town, they were blessed by watching later on the website or on DVD. Heard from brand new people in our church, just new visitors, just yesterday that, you know, we got a sick one, but we look forward to watching the message on the website anyway. Oh, if everyone was like that. And that's brand new visitors in the church. I can point to about 8 or 10 sermons that I've heard preached. I didn't preach them. 10 sermons or so that have absolutely changed my life in the last 2 to 3 decades. One of them just a few weeks ago in revival. And guess what? I was present for all of them. Amen. I was present for life-changing sermons. What if I wasn't present? Several of you have said the same thing about a message that you've heard here, and some of you could say the same thing, except you weren't present. It was a Wednesday night, so, you know, you don't come on Wednesday night, so you miss that blessing, right? Or Sunday night or whatever. Sunday school. I think some of the best things that happen under this roof happen in our Sunday school classes. And I feel bad for some who don't count themselves worthy of that blessing. Well, people reveal a little more about their heart when not only do they think nothing of missing, but then they don't take advantage of the technology to catch up either. Only eternity will tell what God intended to do in your life. But you didn't show up. We ought to be faithful. God's watching for faithfulness. We ought to be faithful to our church. We ought to be faithful to our church, trusting that God has our number. And don't you know God has your number?
Yes, He does.
He has my number time and time again. Some of you think I'm reading your mail. I'm not. God has your number. He knows what we need to hear. He knows how to put His finger on the spot.
That's right.
And oh, sometimes it hurts a little bit, but it's amazing how our God can take one message and make it meet hundreds of people's needs. Thousands. God has our number, and His messenger will ring our bell as needed, if only we will follow His basic command to be faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I know that some do that. There always will be some, just don't let it be you exhorting one another. Well, every time you come to church, you're saying to God, God, you're important to me. That's why I put you first and give you this priority. You're saying more than that. When you come to church, you're saying, Pastor, you're important to me. I appreciate the time and work you put in and that God sent you here, and I wouldn't want Him to send you somewhere else. And you're saying, when you come to church, to the people that you sit near, you're important to me. We're part of the body. So I'm showing up, reporting for duty. It's selfish to skip church and say, it won't hurt me. Truth is, yes, it will, and it hurts others too. So we need to be faithful to the fellowship. Faithful in our finances, faithful to our family. Finally, we need to be faithful, quite basically, to the faith. To the faith. Now I'm talking about the Word of God. You're writing. When you're done, take your Word of God, your sword, and hold it up proud and high like I'm doing right now. Faithful to the faith. This is what it's all about. By the way, you ought to have a Bible and you ought to carry it. And if you want to be on the same page, it'll be a KJV, okay? Amen. Let's be faithful to the faith. I'm talking about the Word of God. Many today are doubting God's Word. Many today are doubting parts of God's Word. Even Christians, even churches, many approaching the Bible cafeteria style, taking what they like, no, don't care for that, saying this, that doesn't apply to us today. That's not for us today. It's all for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And yet, many people today are putting question marks behind God's Word, just discussing whether this could be true or not. How could this be true? Well, let's look to science and see if science verifies the truth of God's Word. Listen, today is no time to be putting question marks down. There's no better time to put exclamation points behind God's Word. Some who doubt the Word today even call themselves theologians, and that's the sad thing to me. I've got a big problem with someone who calls himself a theologian and doubts God's Word. For the term theologian comes from two Greek words, theos, which means God, logos, which means word. If you're a theologian, you believe and you're built on, you're all about God's Word. Well, I've got a problem with some who call themselves theologians, and they've got a problem with the Word, they've got a problem with me now. Why? They don't believe the logos, must know the theos. That's what I say. Amen. If you don't believe the logos, you don't know the theos. Amen. It's what theology is. It's like grape nuts. They're neither grape nor nuts. Come on. Let's be consistent here. You want to be a theologian? You want to know God? You better believe His Word, the logos. Amen. Folks, we are living in a scary day. But never a better day to trust in God and trust in His Word. And by the way, jot it down, we're not to judge the Word of God. We're supposed to let the Word of God stand in judgment of us. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, said, "The chief danger of the 20th century, he said, will be, number one, forgiveness without repentance." Can't have one without the other. Salvation without regeneration. Can't have one without the other. Heaven without hell. Our world is trying to have one without the other, but you can't. Isn't that the day in which we live? It was true of the 20th century and now the 21st. Our generation is lost. So much of the modern church today is lost, and we need faithful people. Faithful people who will hold high the banner. Lift high the Lord our banner. Be faithful to the faith. The first thing that we see when we peer into the heart of the Apostle Paul is faithfulness. Are you faithful to your family? Are you faithful in your finances? Are you faithful to the fellowship? Can you be? Will you be? Faithful to the faith? There's no skipping this first step, but if you're faithful, you'll hear a couple more points, a couple more things that we can see as we peer into the Apostle Paul's heart. And maybe Wednesday we'll do that. Okay? We shall see. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I realize that this message today has been pretty pointed, and it might have stepped on a few toes, okay. But why do we come here anyway?
That's right. Speak to us,
Lord. I'm not too good at tickling the ears, saying what we want to hear, but I believe that God has said today what we need to hear.
Amen.
And I'm proud if I can ever even be a mouthpiece of that truth. And so no apologies. God's crossed our paths with this moment because He wants to intersect our hearts with these truths, and He wants us to make a change as a result.
Yes.
God's Word needs to stand in judgment of us and needs to tell us, here's what you need to do differently. We need some people today who will make a once and for all decision, like many already have in this church. By God's grace, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to make it a priority. It begins in the home. I'm going to start it there. And it's going to carry over tonight into my church. And it's going to carry into the offering plate. And it's going to carry into the other 90% and the way that I budget and use these monies for the Lord and His glory. I'm going to be faithful and a good steward. It's required that we be found faithful. Oh, come and be faithful. Well, no one's looking on, and every head is bowed and every eye is closed. But if the Word of God did a work of God in some area in your life today, and if God really does have your number, and He put His finger on a spot, and He touched that spot today, then you should respond to that. You should say, God, have Thine own way. God, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to humble myself and repent. Say, I've been wrong, and by Your grace, I'm going to do right in this area. Put God to the test, would you? And come see me if He fails that test, because you'll be famous. You'll be the first ever if He fails that test. We've got this private moment. It's between us and God. But in humility, if God put His finger on the spot and used His Word to do a work in some area of your life, would you just slip your hand up and right back down all across the room? Yes, I see so many hands here. That's great. It'd be a shame. It'd be a waste of time to come and hear a life-changing message and then walk out without your life being changed. And so I'm glad to see a lot of hands here, and I know that the Lord, who sees the heart, is blessed. And the angels rejoice in heaven when we do what's right. Maybe there's some here this morning, you're not sure if you're saved. If you're not sure if you're saved, talk about the angels rejoicing in heaven. The Bible says they do when one sinner repents. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, we want to pray for you. If you're not sure if you died today, if you would go to heaven or hell, you can be assured that both exist and that you would go to one or the other. And the Bible makes it clear how it can be heaven. If you don't know for sure and you'd like to know more about it, we won't come to you or embarrass you. But I promise we will pray for you. And God is watching right now. Would you slip up your hand? Say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Pray for me. Yes, I see that hand. You can put it down. I see another hand. Thank you. You put it down. Someone else. Yes, I see that hand. You can put that down. Anybody else would say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Pray for me that I can be sure. Yes, you can put your hands down. If you need to be saved, we are going to pray for you. And God loves you, and He's done more than pray for you. He's made it possible for you to be saved. We're going to pray that you'll come to Him and be saved today. Now, if you were among the sea of hands that said, yes, God's Word has done a work in my heart today, and I want to make a commitment and make a change for His glory, then we encourage you to lead the way to this altar today. And if you need to be saved, you follow these that will come to this altar. But you come to me, though I can't save you, I can pair you up with someone who can take a Bible and show you how God can save you today. So you come meet me here at the front if you need to be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we pray specifically for these who said they want to make sure that they're saved today. I pray, Lord, that you convict their hearts and show them the way and help them to come to you, to come forward to an old-fashioned altar, to say, yes, I want to make sure that I'm saved today. And I pray you'd bless and guide them in their understanding and that they could walk out of here knowing for sure the most wonderful truth any of us can know, that we're saved. Lord, I pray that you would help us as Christians who know better to do what's right. You've called us back to a life of faithfulness today. Help us to respond and do what's right where you've put your finger on the spot. Help us now to lead the way and show these sinners the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Have thine own way, Lord. Let's stand quietly and reverently. Christians, would you lead the way in humility, answering God's call? Say, yes, I'll make that change. And as you make a commitment, say, God, hold me to this. I don't know if I can do it, but Lord, you can hold me to this. And you can give me the grace to keep this commitment that I now make. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you come meet me here at the front? Just come shake my hand and we'll help you with that decision. Praise the Lord. We need to be praying for one who's come to make sure that they're saved today. How about you? Not sure? Would you like to make sure? Perhaps God brought you on this very day because He wants to save you in this hour. If you'd like to know more about it, you come talk to us down here. We'll have a couple more verses and give plenty of time to those who want to pray. And another challenge too. Maybe God has told you, you need to make a commitment. Would He have you to come join this church today? What a great day to do it. You come forward now so we have another verse. And we'll make that public today. It's a blessing to have someone join the church last week. I believe God's got some more for us. Thank you. Let's remain in a spirit of prayer for one who's being dealt with right now out of the Word of God. We'll give them all the time they need for sure. And praise the Lord for that. Tonight we continue from Judges on America, and the title will be Short Changed. Short Changed. That's tonight from Judges 2. And look forward to seeing you back then, I trust and believe. All right? Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. God is good. As we pray, let's remember Miss Gina Jones, who is doing some better, but in the hospital. Let's pray for these pregnant ladies, which includes Rebecca. Where? In the nursery? Okay. Really pray for her. Having contractions in the nursery seems kind of ironic. All right. So let's say a special prayer for these ones as we go on our way. And Brother Jones, would you pray for us, please, sir?